Blog Talk Radio.
Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. Boy, I can't believe we have 2 weeks left in the season. I just remember the season just starting. It really seemed like yesterday. I tell you, the seasons go by faster and faster, and it's been a really fun season, a lot of exciting things. Timmy and I are going to try to help you this evening, try to find those guys who might help you over the next 2 weeks. We're going to talk about the Brandon Belt injury or concussion and the Felix Hernandez going out with an elbow injury and maybe what that means, and maybe just kind of share or bemoan those types of feelings that we have. But let me bring on Mr. McLeod as he has just joined us. Timmy, how are you?
Good, Rich. I finally got this figured out, so the timing's not too bad. And I don't have that, you know, the voices in my head, that horrible echo.
So you said you had loss of power this afternoon, planned outage in beautiful Fort Frances. What happened?
Well, it was just a planned maintenance thing that was supposed to kick in from 7 until 1, but it didn't come back on until 4:15, at which point in time I was almost on the verge of crankiness.
It's funny, Tim. I have a power generator at my house, so when we lose power, it automatically kicks on. So a few weeks back, we lost power and no generator.
Ooh.
So I called the guy and I said, I lost power and I got no generator. What happened? They sent a service call out. Tim, you should see this thing. It's huge. I mean, it costs a ton of money and it's supposed to work, right? He goes, oh,
right.
I think the battery died on it. I go, what do you mean the battery died on it? He goes, well, it's got a starter battery like a car battery and it probably dried out and ran out of water. I'm like, I get this thing hooked up to the gas lines, Tim. It's all this fan, and it run, and literally he opens it up, and there's this little tiny battery in there. Looks like a small car battery that had dried out because it sits in the hot sun. He goes, oh, it happens sometimes. I'm going, well, that's not good. Why doesn't it tell me when it's not going to work?
Well, yeah, it's sort of nice, eh, when your backup plan doesn't warn you that it's not going to function. At least here I know what our backup plan was, and that was playing Scrabble.
Yeah, Scrabble and candles, Timmy. Well, I'm glad you're able to join us. How has your week been? How are your teams hanging in there?
Well, you know, there's good news and there's bad news. My tote team is sort of collapsed. I'm looking at somewhere between fifth and eighth on the finish. You know, it was just one of those years, Rich. To give you an example, 2 weeks ago, Viscano absolutely was brutal. So I bench him. This week, a win, two saves. Turan today pitched a gem of a game. Bullpen coughs it up. Just been one of those years. But, you know, if I can end up finishing somewhere between sixth and eighth, I'm going to have some fun with the draft next spring.
That's right. It's the reverse position of where you finish. Is that how it works?
Yeah. You basically draft the following year in order of finish.
Wow. So if you land, so that's going to be in the middle of the draft then. So if you finish sixth or seventh, then you'll draft sixth or seventh, I guess. So it's not the reverse then. It's the person who finishes first gets to draft first. So okay, got it. Well, that's a nice spot to draft. And you drafted out of the number one hole last year.
Yeah, and things were going good up until August, but then we had a few injuries and a few collapses, and hey, it just wasn't meant to be. But hey, DL2 we're rocking, and it looks like Ian and yours truly were going to repeat in the Dynasty Guru Industry League, and I got a couple seconds third. One league is an amazing finish right now in that we've got seven teams within 5.5 points fighting for three money spots.
Wow.
It's a hoot.
That's cool. Well, we're doing okay in our joint league there, Tim. We're in second place, second, third place. I think we have a chance to finish in the money. We'll see how that goes. We're never able to catch the first place team. But I want to talk to you a moment about my head-to-head league. Now, Timmy, I told you last week that Rich Hill knocked me out of the playoffs. It turned out, and I didn't even know this until Monday evening when the guy I competed against sent me an email and congratulated me. Apparently, there was a scoring change where he added a run, or I took off a run off of our ERA, and I beat him 6-4. The ERA 3.908 for yours truly 3.917 for the competitor. So I won and went on. So he was I was seated number 7. He was seated number 2. What do you think of that, Timmy?
Well, I like the way you put it in the email, but I guess I'm going to have to pay attention now. Wasn't it worded something like that, Rich?
I missed the whole first day, Timmy, because I literally thought I was out of it. So what's fascinating, my team is pretty much a trick team, and I've done this the last few years in a head-to-head league, and I simply will I do the best pitching I can, and I draft for speed. So this week I was going up with the number 2 seed, a guy who it's got an amazing team. So, I mean, here's the scene. He's got Buster Posey at catcher. It's a 2-catcher league. Francisco Savelli, the other one. He's got Adrian Gonzalez. He's got Manny Machado. He's got Francisco Lindor. Wait a minute. This isn't right. That's the other guy. This. Let's see. Wait a minute here. Hold on. Who am I going against? I got this all screwed up. This guy's got an even better team than that, Tim. Here we go. Let me called Votos Locos. Here's his team. That's a pretty cool name, right? Mm. He's got Paul Goldschmidt, Addison Russell, Chris David, Keto Marte, Joey Votto, Ryan Braun, Bryce Harper, George Springer. And he's got Matt Harvey and a couple relievers. Pitching staff's okay. Here's my starting thing, Tim. Kurt Suzuki, Carlos Perez, probably never heard of that. He's the Angels' backup catcher. I guess he's playing a little bit. Joe Mauer, D. Gordon, Jake Lamb, Elvis Andrews, John Zecora, Billy Butler, Ben Revere, Adam Eaton, Austin Jackson, Anthony Gose, Angel Pagan, and Didi Gregorius. So I went with speed guys, Tim, and hoping to win the speed category, and then win all the pitching categories. I beat this guy this week. I beat him in runs. I beat him in RBI. Obviously, I beat him in stolen bases. And then in the pitching categories, I've got 4 out of the 5. We're tied in wins. So 7-2-1. He's got Matt Harvey. I've got Sabathia going tonight. But you know, I just did that. There's no way I can lose unless Sabathia gives up like 23 runs. And so I got a comfortable lead. So this is why head-to-head leagues are so wacky, Tim. I mean, there's no way I've got a better team than this guy does. But any week you get a hot pitcher. I had some guys go on my offense that played really well, and I knocked them out.
Well, yeah, that's the allure of head-to-head in that on any given Sunday, you can basically win. And, you know, hey, you got to almost feel for the guy who, you know, built a strong team, drafted really good. But, hey, the bottom line is on a one-week series, you had the speed, you had good pitching, and you're heading to the finals. And, you know, our Facebook page has been littered with horror stories of teams that have amazing teams that have had awesome years, but kiss it goodbye come the playoffs. It's one of the reasons that I don't play head-to-head. It's the principal reason, to be honest with you, Rich, simply because I just find it too frustrating to work hard in the off-season, scouting, yada, 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 draft your players, do the in-season moves, and then watch it all come crashing down in one quick, brutal week.
I know in this league, the 1, 2, and 3, 4, the top 4 guys in the 8-team playoff, they're all out. And it looks like it's myself, number 7, against the number 5 seed. And he's got a team. It's a bit of a trick team as well, and I don't match up very well against him. So it's going to be very interesting finals. And it just goes to show you, Tim, it is about categories and head-to-head. And if you focus and try to win 6 out of 10 categories, you know, I go with pitching because it's a little bit more fun and a little bit more volatile. But, you know, you sit there and during the year, I think I finished the year, my record was 103 and 107. So just enough to get in. And then I play hard during the playoffs, and I'm trying to look at my competitor, what he is deficient in, and then I'm trying to stack up. And I've only got 7 moves in that week. So it really comes down to him. I play hard for 3 weeks out of the year, and the other time I'm just pretty much trying to sneak into the playoffs.
What can auto draft a team and win?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to go with concentration. A lot of people give up saves. Some people will give up speed. They'll go all power. But usually in a head-to-head league, I mean, you can win anyway, but like going with a total great team across the board doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win.
Well, no, you're going to probably experience trouble much as your opponent did when he came up against you, because you've got stolen bases wrapped up before you get in. He's down one. There's also the runs scored, and whether you're using OBP or BA, they become very, very, flexible in that they could go either way. And if you got the right pitching, the right bullpen, it's a totally different game. It really is. And hey, way too frustrating for me. I'd be the guy that would be finishing first in the league overall, only to see my sorry butt booted out and watching from the first round of the playoffs on.
Well, Tim, let me ask you a contradictory type of question. Then why don't we simply not have two leagues in Major League Baseball, simply go 1-30? And I think they do this in the Premier League in England, where there is no playoffs. It's whoever scores the most points throughout the year, however that works. I think it's two games for a win and one game for a tie or something like that. And who's ever declared the winner is the winner of the league for the entire season. We could do that in baseball, and it would come down to, I guess, Toronto versus – no, I guess the top three teams in the league are in the Central Division. It's the Cubs, the Pirates, and the St. Louis Cardinals. Why don't we do it that way? Why do we have playoffs in Major League Baseball?
It's called advertising revenue, Rich.
So you would prefer then that we end it at the end of the season and declare whoever has the best record – the winner of Major League Baseball?
Well, you know what? I look at the way the playoffs have been revamped, and definitely it has provided some incredible excitement for a lot of teams that a few years ago it wouldn't have. But I think I'm leaning to even with the excitement generated, to being more of a traditionalist and limiting the playoffs. Well, one thing that I really don't want to see, and I hope it never gets to that, is a situation like the NHL, where every team makes the playoffs except for five. No, I don't like that. I think there has to be some incentive for playing 162 games, and I sometimes wonder if the incentive is enough.
Yeah, I just think more. I was just thinking more of head-to-head versus rotisserie on the overall play. But yet, that's contradictory to pretty much all American team sports, where there is some playoff involved, which makes the head-to-head factor, a little bit more random. Which is why sometimes the best teams, or many times the best team, doesn't win when they get to the playoffs. I can't kind of correct that in my head, because I don't know if any major league teams are playing with trick teams like I am, which is saying I got zero power. But maybe back in the day, the St. Louis Cardinals, when they had all that speed, they were playing a trick team and they were doing okay. I don't know. What's your thought?
Well, you look at, let's use Kansas City as an example. How many big boppers are on that team? They play to the park. So isn't that, in a way, by stacking their lineup with guys that can run, guys that hit to contact, isn't that sort of playing the game in that format?
I think so. And you can argue the Mets. I'm not sure the Mets are trying to play a trick team, but, I mean, they've got tons of pitching. And once they get to the playoffs, they're going to be very dangerous, assuming their guys pitched them, because they're all getting tired. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But if they're all healthy and they're all pitching the way they're supposed to pitch, it's going to be a really tough team to win. Are they the best team in Major League Baseball from 1 to 25? I don't think so, but they could be a very dangerous playoff team.
Well, let's just take a look back to last year. Were the Giants, 1 through 25, the best team in baseball? Not a chance. They had Madison Bumgarner, and they jumped on his back, and he carried them all the way through.
Yeah, and I guess, we could say this in head-to-head leagues, we're doing the same thing. So it is a fascinating discussion, and why I think, You know, and I actually enjoy playing the head-to-head game because, first of all, I think it's a, you know, as we do the show, it's good to be able to talk about different multiple types of formats, but it's a completely different game because decisions you make about how you want to construct your team and then how you manage your team throughout the season is vastly different than a season-long commitment. In fact, you know, this week you can argue I'm playing daily fantasy baseball in this scenario. I'm simply playing almost on a day-to-day basis. So I'm making some weekly type of decisions if it's two-star pitchers. But I'm playing on a day-to-day basis. This week for the championship team, I guarantee it's going to be daily fantasy baseball because I'm going to be playing for one day at a time.
Well, yeah, you're playing 7 one-day series this week is what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely, Timmy. And we talk about daily fantasy sports, and let's go to our sponsor, FanDuel. Timmy, we have 50 people competing in our FanDuel tournament this week. I am last week we had 71, and I finished 63rd. Remember, I was mid-pack, finished 63rd, Tim. Not a good showing last week.
Well, you know, you got to look at it, from a positive perspective, Rich. There were 8 people worse.
That's true. So far, we have 50 people, and I'm in 18th place, Tim, but I got 3 guys left to play, so I'm not in the money, but I feel like I'm not horrible. So I've got 3 guys. I have no idea who they are. Some guy named Dante Moncrief. I thought he was a basketball player. So Carlos Moncrief, a decent minor leaguer with the Cleveland Indians. Tim, I don't know if it's related. Dwayne Allen, whoever the heck that is, and this I've heard of, the Indianapolis Colts defense. That's who I have left to play. So I've heard of the Indianapolis Colts.
Hey, that's awesome, Rich. I got into that one football league I got into, and I'm 0-2, okay? but here's the kicker, okay? I have lost both weeks by combined less than 10 points total.
Well, Tim, you need to take your prowess to our daily fantasy sports thing. You need to take that there. I'll see if I can get the FanDuel guys to copy. It's a $5. I mean, I'm sure that when they hear the great Tim McCloud's going to play, I'm sure they will fork over $5 to have you play.
Football or baseball?
Football. Baseball, I don't think so, Tim, because you'll win all the time. But
because, you know, the great Tim McCloud, when it comes to football, I spell it G-R-A-T-E, okay, because all my money falls through it.
Exactly. I do it that fun. I think it is fun. I get no money. By the way, these leagues, we get no money from it. It's just out there to have fun and try to build our community. But week two was a hoot. I did watch a little football today and between baseball. But you've seen all the ads, guys, with FanDuel. And I know people are interested. And, boy, have you seen ads. These ads have been amazing. They're all over the place. You can't watch a television show without seeing an advertising come up for FanDuel. So that shows you the kind of where Wall Street thinks everything is going because they're funding these guys a ton. So we know this is where the industry is going. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts than any other site. The money is real. They are paying out over $75 million a week this football season. Building a team is easy. Just pick your players, stand on the salary cap, and sit back on Sunday and watch your team win. Entry fees start at just a buck. It is $5. Tim, we're at the high price, at $5 to play in our league.
Well, you know what? I'll talk to Kathy, and if you know we can work something out on the allowance side of things, I'll find some way to get into one of these. How's that?
There you go. Well, Tim, I'll try to get you comp, man. I'm telling you, I think I can make that happen.
Oof!
They like us there. They apparently are our community. It's in baseball in particular. There a lot of people have joined it, so they like us. So I think I can have them fork over that $5 for him. I'm hoping. Or maybe why don't you play my? I'll give you my access to my account. You go and play my league on my team because, Timmy, I got to tell you, I just simply pick random guys and make sure I don't get over the salary limit. Go, I'm good. I'm not even like I don't have time to try to figure out who the best player is.
Yeah, I think it'd be an interesting competition, okay, between the two of us to see if somebody listed, say, 20 names, who would know the most of those 20 names, because I'd probably be good for about 3.
It's interesting. I know a little bit about it, very little, though. We should have somebody who's really into football come on and do a guess the player, Tim, and see, do some real obscure ones. I've heard of Tom Brady, not guys like that, but
no.
Dwayne Allen. Tell me, I'll say, yeah, I picked them up, but I have no idea what he looks like.
Well, I know Dwayne and I know Allen, but they're two separate guys to me.
Anyway, go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code P361 and sign up today. There's a special offer like there is every week. It's for new users. Every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200, and it gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the code P361. Don't forget to use, again, the code P361. FanDuel.com, that's FANDUL.com. Sign up today. Timmy, Brandon Belt, concussion. Oh. Didn't he have, like, concussions last year? This isn't good.
Yeah, no, it was plural last year. It's only singular so far this year. But I haven't heard any information on this. I can't find any information. All I caught was a blurb saying he's suffering from a concussion. Well, did he fall? Did he get hit? It is, you know, what's the scoop here? Do you know anything? Because I know absolutely nothing and can't find it.
Oh, I forgot how he hurt himself. I might have been on a slide in the second base or something. I forgot. But apparently he passed. He didn't have any concussion symptoms when the event happened, and apparently it happened a day later. Now, what worries me, Tim, is just that, because we've seen Justin Morneau, who's had multiple concussions, and, man, he comes back really, really slow. So you do worry about Brandon Belt going forward in leagues, because, you know, you all of a sudden you become a little bit more sensitive to that, and you worry that a mild bang-up could cause a concussion, and he's out for a longer period of time.
Well, yeah, I would have to think, based on what we know right now, you got to find a replacement for him in roto leagues for the last 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I just dropped him in a league, Tim, and I think in that head-to-head league we were just talking about, or some, in one of the leagues, I dropped him because I mean there's 2 weeks left, Tim.
Well, yeah, you don't have a whole lot of time to sit back and wait. And, you know, if it is a concussion, that's an automatic 7 days, isn't it?
It generally is going to be an automatic 7 days, but the Giants are out of it, so there's really no reason to play them.
Exactly. That's my train of thought, Rich, is, you know, why wheel a guy out there and risk even further injury? It's simply not worth it. So, unfortunately, Hall of Famer Brandon Belt is going to be disappearing from all of our teams this weekend.
I know, Timmy. Felix Hernandez, Timmy, goes out after 5 2/3 today with a sore elbow. What was the actual word they used? A stiff elbow. Timmy. Well, we do not want to hear the word stiff and elbow next to anybody's name, particularly Felix Hernandez.
No, definitely not. He's had a long season. There's a lot of miles on that arm. Let's hope that whatever it is that ails him, they caught it before it leads to the next step, which is a visit to Dr. Andrews. And I'm not insinuating or suggesting that is the next step, but, man, he's got a lot of miles on that arm, and it's definitely, you know, looking at next season and heading into next season, I think it's something where caution should be exercised, potentially, waiting to see, of course, what the final diagnosis is on the stiff elbow.
Yeah, it's not good, Timmy. And if you own Felix Hernandez and you're in a weekly lineup, are you going to play him next week? So he pitched today, so that means he's only got a one-start week.
He's only got a one-start week, and the Mariners aren't going anywhere. They're not going to risk any damage. If I own Felix Hernandez right now, I'd be looking for a replacement.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think so. I got him in the head-to-head league as well. That's my main guy, so putting more pressure on it. You mentioned Dr. James Andrews. May I emote for just a moment, Tim?
Yes. Use as many emoticons as you would like.
Hunter Harvey, Tim. He is a prospect for the Baltimore Orioles. He started having elbow problems this time last year. In fact, he was shut down early. They said, just going to rest and rehab it a little bit. No structural problems, which is always the kiss of death. I mean, it's like telling a manager the vote of confidence. So how many times have we heard that? So this year he pitches a little bit, shut him down again, stiff elbow. It's now a year later, and now he's going to visit Dr. James Andrews. The freaking Baltimore Orioles did this with Dylan Bundy. The guy hasn't come back yet. It was the same thing. They rested him for 4 or 5 months, and then he lost another year. I mean, Hunter Harvey's going to be 30 years old before he sees the major leagues. The guy's a ton of talent. I've seen him pitch twice. He's on every one of my dynasty leagues. Tim, let's be real. Let's tell you why I'm really upset. The freaking Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, it's it definitely all boils back to it is about us. It is about me, but there's no doubt about it. You know, the Orioles have it in for you, Rich. They hate you, okay? And there's nothing you can do about that other than buy enough shares in the team, which definitely won't happen anyways because they wouldn't put them out there. You know, it's sad. It really is when at some point in time, like, I realize that pitchers have to rest and wait. And you know what? Hey, Tanaka's had an amazing year. He, you know, he lost a month, but for the most part, he's hung in there. Where do you draw the line? You know, when you're looking at younger pitchers, I would think, you know, if it's even 70-30, why not get it done? It's tough. It really is.
It really is, and there's no answer. But if he has to go for Tommy John surgery, he's lost another year. If he had Tommy John surgery this time last year, and again, I know people are screaming at their iPods as they're listening to this, and it's just an angry owner here speaking, Tim. If he would have had Tommy John surgery, he would have been back pitching again beginning of next year. He would have lost a year. Now he's going to lose 2+ years, and it's it's a killer when you're in these dynasty leagues and you're trying to build a team up and you got a guy that's a stud pitcher. And what do? Do you drop him now, but then you take up a roster spot? It just sucks. And it sucks for the Baltimore Orioles as well because that's going to be a bad team next year because they're losing Chris Davis. They don't have any pitching. Wei-Yin Chen's going to be moved. I mean, he's had a pretty good year this year. And Dylan Bundy, no telling if he comes up. I don't like the way the Orioles are running that operation out there.
No, I think you're looking at potentially a last-place finish or battling it out for last. Yeah, I can't see any way on earth that Chen is going to be back, not after the stupidity they pulled. Remember when they sent him down to the minors?
Mm-hmm.
To get, yeah, and then he didn't want to go. I'm thinking that between him and his agent, the Baltimore Orioles are probably the last destination in mind for 2016. And hey, Chen's a solid lefty. He'll get himself a half decent deal and he won't have to put up with the crap either, will he?
No, I mean, again, if the Orioles offer the most amount of money, that's where he'll sign. The Orioles aren't going to offer the most amount of money. They can't. And he's a lefty and a pretty good lefty. He's not great. He's not David Price, but he's going to get a lot of money. But, I mean, Chris Davis goes away, Manny Machado, it's dead man walking there for a few Baltimore Orioles fans. He's not re-signing because he's going to cost a fortune. And he's, what, halfway through now going to free agency? Adam Jones isn't signed for that much longer. It's going to be really, really ugly when your lead pitcher is Ubaldo Jimenez and Chris Tillman.
Yeah, there's, you know, that's a solid start to a 4-5 in most rotations, but you're still missing 1, 2, and 3, Rich. No, I think Baltimore is in for a real ugly ride, and I agree with you. You won't see Davis, you won't see Chen. You're looking at the two young pitchers that were supposed to be the, you know, the anchor of that rotation. You're looking at possibly, what, two and a half years before you see Hunter Harvey in that rotation?
So let's say he doesn't go in for Tommy John surgery till sometime next year. So they'll probably throw him out there again, more rest and rehab, blah, blah, blah. It's 3 to 4 years. So, I mean, he's going to be 26, 27, I bet you, before he comes up. And Dylan Bundy, no telling there. Kevin Gausman, what are they doing to Kevin Gausman? I mean, they got him moving all over the rubber. They throw it across his body now, which, you know, is great for deception. He's going to hurt his arm. I don't get what that team is. And how many times have they sent him down?
Yeah, I've sort of lost track at the Gausman schmozzle, but yeah, hey, there's definitely trouble in Baltimore, and if I was a fan, I wouldn't be booking any hotels in potential World Series destinations for quite a while, Rich.
I think they had their chance last year. Speaking of guys, Timmy, getting sent down and so forth, Oswaldo Arcia is out of options at the end of this year. He has got to be on the Major League Baseball team or he has got to be DFA'd. What say you that the Minnesota Twins do?
They DFA him.
I think they do as well.
Yeah, I think they DFA him. Rosario has proved to be more than competent getting the job done. Hey, Buxton's the outfielder of the future there. I just don't see any reason why they keep him around. It simply hasn't worked out, and hopefully, because I think there's still talent there, that I think somebody will take a chance on RCA. He's young enough yet. I think he's only, 24?
I don't have it up, but something like that.
Yeah, and you know what? I could see the exact same scenario, maybe not as solid results, but I could see a scenario where he ends up being like, let's say, J.D. Martinez. A year or two down the road, he surfaces and hits 25 home runs.
Yeah, it's funny. I read an article when I was researching him last night. Somebody, I think it was, probably just a homebrew type of website out there, copying the situation to David Ortiz. You know, both Latin players, David Ortiz, remember, was with the Minnesota Twins, and they traded him or DFA'd him about the same age as Oswaldo Arcia. I don't think Oswaldo Arcia has nearly that type of upside. But if you take a look at their stats, going into when both were expelled from Minnesota, boy, the stats are eerily the same.
Yeah, I would imagine they'd have to be close. What, Arcia, 20 home runs last year in half a season?
That was
some impressive. All I know in Minnesota is they probably would have been a lot better shape had they brought up Jose Berrios, but that's
here we go. Wait till you read in about a month. You'll read my Minnesota Twins write up, and I go ad nauseum about. I say something to the effect, if you're reading this article to look for a reason why the Minnesota Twins did not call up Jose Berrios, I got nothing. Period. Next paragraph.
Well, yeah, you didn't mention the potential of saving some money in there, or is that they could? But that's not even really a point either, because they could have taken care of that next spring if they wanted to.
It
boggles my mind. It just boggles my mind.
Yeah, if I'm a season ticket holder of the Minnesota Twins, I'm like, you got so close. And they probably lost it by losing that doubleheader to the Angels. By the way, we're going to get into talk. In fact, we're all over the place, Sim, but we got your waiver wire stuff we're going to go through, two-star pitchers, and then we're going to talk playoff talks, just because I think it's fascinating to some of the playoffs, particularly with the Houston Astros. But it looks like the Twins blew it this weekend, basically, when they got rained out and they lost a doubleheader.
Well, yeah, but there's still only two back.
There's only 2 weeks left, and there's not a whole lot of time left.
Yeah, but two games is two games. You know, there's a whole pile of teams bunched awful, awful close in the AL, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it breaks, because, basically you've got five teams playing for two spots, and nobody's locked up or proven anything there yet. It's still wide open.
Timmy, also Tanaka goes down with a hamstring pull, and he's not going to pitch this week either. At least he's going to miss one of his starts. That's a killer, too. Tim, there's 2 weeks left. So if this is your championship week and you're playing in a head, you're screwed without Tanaka as well, and not helping your rotisserie end of the season as well.
No, he was scheduled to pitch Wednesday against Marcus Stroman, and actually it was perfect timing because ESPN had Stefania Bell on, and basically what she said is it's a 1 to 2 week rest. So you're looking at he won't be starting in all probability this week at all. And I can see the Yankees possibly trying to get him two starts if it's crucial in that final week. So I'm going to hold on to him if I own him, and make sure that he's not in any of my weekly lineups this week. That's the approach I'm going to take.
Yeah, that's probably wise. But, Tim, I think it's fair to say that last week is still very, very iffy. The Yankees are probably make it. I don't think they're going to overtake the Blue Jays, but I still think they have a pretty good chance of making it into the wild card.
Well, and let's face it, if they make it into that wild card game, who are they going to wheel out there? It's going to be one of two guys. It's either going to be Pineda or Tanaka, right?
Well, yeah, Pineda, do you trust Pineda? I mean, that's a guy that can go out and pitch a no-hitter and also go out and pitch three innings and give up seven runs as well. It's just he's still all over the place. And Luis Severino, I mean, still pretty good.
Well, yeah, I forgot about Severino. Yeah, you throw him into the mix for a one-game playoff. But after that, you don't want to be rolling CC and Nova out there. Definitely not.
No, not at all. Yeah, we move over to the Mets, Timmy, and we see that that Jacob deGrom was completely dominating until about three or four starts ago. And, in fact, he gave up six runs his last outing. It was his worst game of the season. Just four games prior to that, he also gave up six runs. Is he hit a wall? He's over 180. He's 181 innings. I mean, they're talking about pushing a couple of his, at least his start coming up this week back. I mean, if you own Jacob deGrom, that's another one of those things that you're going, oh, do I even start him this week?
Well, yeah, they're talking about potentially Sunday, and they've already determined he's not pitching Tuesday. They have Verrett coming up and pitching the Tuesday game. But it's a real mess because you don't know if they're going to pitch Harvey next weekend. They could also take and sit Syndergaard because the way it's shaking down right now, they might have clinched that division before we get to the weekend. So then, you know, you're looking at maybe they throw Syndergaard out for 2-3 innings. Maybe they do the same with Harvey just to keep the arm loose. But it's going to be really, really tough trying to sort through that Mets rotation over the next 2 weeks. The only guarantees that I can see is that, hey, Nice, Fat Bart, and Mats are probably all going to get at least two starts. After that, I would say Verrett's the same, but when you start looking at DeGrom, Harvey, and Syndergaard, they could be all 2-3 inning starts, depending on the results from the beginning of this week.
Well, yeah, so DeGrom, particularly DeGrom, I would think that usually that last week, Tim, that's usually the last game is usually a 2 or 3 inning start. That's typically been it when you're going into the playoffs. So you have to think with Harvey, I think they were talking about potentially pitching against the Nats one more time. So it was going to be the Yankees and then the Nats, and then he's done. So I don't know how long he's going tonight. He's on a pitch limit. I think it's 75 pitches or something like that. So he's probably only going to go the minimum 5 innings, which at least maybe you get a win. But I think DeGrom, I think it's a really, really dicey. If you're in a weekly league sign-up and he's not pitching Tuesday, you're going to bet it on Sunday? Boy, do you do that, Tim.
If I was in a weekly league and I owned DeGrom, I would find a replacement this week. I would sit him. Just, you know, hey, if he does start Sunday, you know, Saturday or Sunday, great. But what happens if he doesn't? Then you're missing, you know, one key starter from the week. I'd go find somebody, and I'd sit DeGrom.
Now, Daniel Norris, Timmy, was activated from the 15-day DL. He only pitched, I think it was 3 or 4 innings. They're going to ramp him up to 65 pitches next outing, which could get him to the 4th or 5th inning. Is he a potential option for you?
Well, if you're playing in quality start leagues, I would say no. He's not going to make the 6 innings. But I happen to own him in one rotisserie league, and I don't have any choice. Wins are bunched up. It's that league where 7 teams are within 6 points. One win could make a difference of 2 points to me and get me in the money. So I don't have any choice. I'm going to be wheeling him out there. Do I feel real confident and comfortable about it? No, not one bit.
What about Joe Panik, Timmy? He is also gone for the rest of the season. Really better player, I think, than anybody thought when he came out of the draft. I think that was the 2011 draft, and he was a real surprise pick by the San Francisco Giants. He's been a lot better player than any of us thought he was going to be, but we lose him for the last 2 weeks of the season. Any thoughts on a middle infield replacement for him?
Well, right now, there's a few players out there that I'd be focusing on. Jed Jerko is only owned to 28%. Marcus Semien, he's been playing a lot better lately. He's owned in about 52% of CBS. Here's a name that really sort of boggled me when I saw the percentage is Starlin Castro, 58% owned.
I saw that in your waiver wire notes, and that surprised me as well.
Well, yeah, and you know what? If you don't care if batting average isn't real crucial, Cliff Pennington, he's owned in 1% of the leagues out there. He's got six RBIs this week. It doesn't matter who the Jays plug in there. All they have to do is get one or two hits, and they're going to generate some RBI opportunities for you. So, hey, you know, hey, if you want a few RBIs, I'd plug Pennington in.
That's a pretty good one. What about my boy Jonathan Scope? I know he is owned all over the place, but I don't know if you've seen what he's done to me. He's batting .292. I wrote this up on Saturday morning. 14 home runs. He's only been 275 plate appearances. Yet there's some warning signs out there. A .348 batting average of balls in play, a 25% strikeout rate. He doesn't walk at all, a 3.3% walk rate. Tell me what kind of player you think he's going to be next year if he gets the 550 at-bats or the 600 plate appearances. A guy that with a lot of power, a lot of raw power, swings and misses a lot and just refuses to take a walk.
Well, yeah, I think what you're looking, he is what he is. The only thing is he's young enough to improve, whether he will or not. Who knows? But you know what? If you're looking for relatively cheap power out of your middle infield, I think he's going to hit 25 home runs next year. I also think he's going to bat somewhere between 240 and 250, which is not all that bad when you look at the changing models in batting average over the past 5 years. If he can bat 240, 250 and hit 25 home runs, drive in 75, that's a very good player next year.
I had him at least 25 home runs. That was going to be my big prediction tonight, Tim. I think he's definitely a 20 home run guy. I think 25 is not out of the question. He's a big kid. He's like 6'3", 6'4". If you ever seen him up close, I mean, he's a really, really strong, broad-chested kid with just a ton of raw power. I do worry the fact that 240 might be generous when it's all said and done. It could be a 230 batting average, but you want cheap power. You want Josh Willingham was always the guy that I went to late in drafts. Remember Josh Willingham?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't that good, but you know he could hit 25. Some 1 year he hit 30 home runs. He'd bat 250, but give you 75 RBIs, and you could get him in the 14th, 15th round, and that was always great. You could get some batting average guys earlier and then pick up a Josh Willingham. I think there's going to be guys like Jonathan Scope, who's a power guy, middle infield, that I picked up late in a lot of leagues, and I've enjoyed the heck out of. Got a 348 batting average and balls in play enhance a 292 average this year. I'll take it.
Well, yeah, I just had a second. I just Googled Josh Willington, Willingham Fan Club. You're still the honorary president, Rich. Congratulations. I remember you owned him everywhere for years and years and years. You and Josh had a real lasting and memorable combination going there for a while. It worked, though.
Yeah, it depends on how you want to construct your team, right? And guys that are big power guys and no batting average guys, if you can get them late in the draft and you've got your batting average taken up by some other guys, you can do quite well. I used to do Yadier Molina early back in the day because I'd get a really high batting average. He's a double down because usually your catchers are going to be 230 guys in a traditional 5x5 rotisserie league. They'd be 230 guys, but I could get a 280 batting average with Yadier Molina with more at-bats at the catching position. Then I could go with Josh Willingham and get 30 home runs and that 240 batting average, and I'd still make out ahead across all statistics.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a smart way to play the game. I think, you know, in today's game, when you look at a 230, 240 batting average, that is not a huge drag on your batting average. You know, I can remember when I first started playing this game, and to win the batting average category, you had to have 280 plus. And that's just the way it was. Now I look at it, and if you've got 271, 272, you're doing exceptionally well. You know, most of the batting average, the midpoints I'm seeing in most of my leagues are in the low to mid 260 range. If you got a guy hitting 230, 240, he's not gonna hurt you all that much.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you, and that's the changing of the game. Timmy, we're gonna take a quick break. When we get back, we're gonna jump right into it and actually start right on your waiver wire. So when we get back, it's the Tim McLeod waiver wire.
For
pretty much the only reason people listen to this show now is for Tim's waiver wire, because it is chock full of nuggets. I get to see it about, well, sometimes I usually see it 4 or 5 hours ahead of time. Tonight I saw it about 45 minutes ahead of the show, Tim, but so I didn't get a chance to make a whole lot of moves with it, to be honest with you, but this is a brilliant list, as they always are. You've given away a couple with Starling Castro, but let's talk at the start of the top. You got Tommy Pham, outfielder of St. Louis, only owned in 5% of CBS leagues, 7% of ESPN leagues, which is fascinating that he's actually owned more in ESPN leagues than he is in CBS leagues, given that ESPN leagues are shallower leagues. I found that to be fascinating.
Well, yeah, usually you don't see that. Usually you see the deeper leagues, the 15-team leagues being out of CBS, and ESPN is your 10-12-team leagues. But at 5% and 7%, he's not owned in a whole lot anyways. But, you know, they've moved him to the top of the order. Grychek's still he's getting closer, they're saying.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, okay. That just
is not good enough, except in hand grenades and horseshoes, Tim. Come on.
Yeah.
When
yeah,
is he going to be there?
Lawn darts. Lawn darts. I'll put lawn darts in there as well. Okay. But no, and, you know, Holiday, he's getting close as well, too. We got a whole bunch of getting close happening in St. Louis, and there's still 4 games up on the pack. That totally boggles my mind that St. Louis is still doing as well as they're doing. But Pham's, hey, sitting at the top of the order. Last week, 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, a stolen base, and 7 runs. 95% of the people out there at CBS leagues do not have this guy. Go get him. Get him quick.
You ever play cornhole? Cornhole, where you have these two wooden boards with a hole in them, and you have these bean bags, and you throw them and try to get them through the hole?
Oh, yeah.
That's fun. That's close as well. Don't you get points? Because we have a big set, Tim, when we have lawn games here, and then I think you get points when you get them on the board, but not through the hole.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You get partial points. The ones that we play, you have your hole, and we have like a bullseye that graduates to the edge of the board, and each of the rings has different points. Eh? So yeah, you can do all right by never getting it in the old hole.
Okay, that's our knowledge of lawn games, and I got nothing else after that.
No, that's the only thing is you don't want to, whatever, if you're playing lawn darts, you don't want to be nominated as catcher. I know that.
Franklin Gutierrez, you brought him up a couple of weeks ago, Timmy, still out there. Why should people be picking him up?
Well, you know, he missed a couple of games this week, but he is now in 4 consecutive games hit home runs in each of those 4 games. 4 games, 4 home runs, 12% owned. Go get him.
Yeah, I totally agree. Starling Castro, we've already mentioned. Name that really surprised me that was on this list is Justin Bour. I mean, why is Justin Bour not owned, that the first baseman with Miami, owned more than 60% of CBS leagues and 9% of ESPN leagues? Sim, this has been a guy, talk about cheap power, particularly at first base or corner infield, and he's been okay this year.
Well, probably because he's boring.
So I'm looking at how many home runs he's hit. It's got to be 15, 16 home runs, and it's not been a full season either.
No, the problem with Bour is he is what he is. He got off to a fairly good start. He hit a pile of home runs, and then he cooled off and did absolutely nothing. Well, he's heated back up. Last week, 2 home runs, 8 RBIs. Hey, it's the end of the year. Grab anybody who's swinging a hot bat, and right now he is.
360 at-bats, I don't know how many plate appearances, but 18 home runs, 62 RBIs. So if that's 360 at-bats, let's move that up to 500 at-bats. So you're talking, that's a 24, 25 home run pace and 80, 90 RBIs. That's not bad if you're in a full season rotisserie league.
Well, no, and he fits the criteria in Miami because he's minimum wage.
That's true, Tim. You can't just let it go, can you?
No. I still have nightmares of moving vans leaving Olympic Park and heading down the road, heading south. It's horrible. I'll never get over that one.
Yeah,
never.
I grew up in Maryland, Tim, and when the Baltimore Colts left in the dead of winter, Mayflower moving vans, snow coming down. I remember like it was yesterday, and just, you know, I couldn't believe it watching the news in the morning. I think I was in maybe early college or late high school, and just like, I can't believe this is happening, and it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, middle of the night. There's a class act, right?
Yeah, there you go. Domingo Santana, Timmy, was part of that trade that also Brett Phillips and Domingo Santana over to Milwaukee from Houston for Carlos Gomez, who's been a big disappointment.
Yeah, no, definitely. Carlos Gomez hasn't been getting it done in Houston. But Santana's another situation where, you know, you got a guy with some power. Past week, 7 for 21. He had one big game with a home run and five RBIs, but he's gonna play, and you got to look at guys that are going to play first and foremost in the next week, 2 weeks.
I guess for shallower leagues, Alexi Rios, if he is out there, 41% owned in CBS League and 23%. I'm assuming he's probably available a lot in 10-team leagues. Tim, he is hot, and he is getting the playing time in Kansas City.
Well, yeah, 9 for 24, 7 runs scored and a home run in the past week. And, you know, he's going to play every day. He's scoring runs. The Kansas City offense is going great guns right now. So if he's out there, find a home for him.
Mickey Matuk, who was drafted, I believe, in 2011 when they drafted a ton of guys. Richie Schaefer also in that same year, who's actually up as well and an interesting pickup. Outfielder with Tampa. Only owned at 3% of CBS leagues, 2% of ESPN leagues. He's okay, Tim. He's not great, but I know he's hot at the moment.
Well, yeah, you know, he's 9 for 19 the past week. No home runs, no RBIs. He scored 3 runs. But what he will give you is stolen bases. He stole 3 bases this week. If you're in need of some cheap speed to gain you a quick point or two, I'd take a look at Matuk because I think he might be just the guy to give those stolen bases to you.
Tell me, would you rather have Matuk for the last week or Dalton Pompey?
Matuk.
Yeah, but Matuk is not a speed guy. He never has been. I mean, he's got average speed. I mean, I don't know where the 3 stolen bases come from. I think he stole, 10, 12 bases this year in AAA, 400 at-bats. So, I mean, he's not... again, 3 stolen bases in 29 games, I mean, that's not great, but that's a little bit more than I think he can typically do.
Yeah, I think it's more than he can typically do as well. But right now, Tampa Bay is letting him run. When you look at Pompey, are there any guarantees that Pompey even gets an opportunity to steal a base in the next week? Now, the
not
last week of the
last
the
week, last... I bet you he's on this list next week, Tim.
I think that's a good call, Rich. As a matter of fact, I've already gotten at the bottom of my sheet after I send it to you, I print it. I've got in block letters, don't forget Dalton Pompey in last week.
yeah, I think that's going to be a big pickup because by then the Toronto Blue Jays should have it buttoned up, and that's when they're going to let those guys really go. And I think Dalton Pompey will get a good run that last week. Got some pitchers here. Tom Kohler, Miami, Tim, he's okay. Got Martin Perez, who I like a lot. And Jorge De La Rosa, out of those three guys, who do you like the most?
What I'm looking at with Kohler is he's got Philly and Harang in his first start. But the last week, I think you're looking at either he's a 2-starter this week or a 2-starter the final week of the season. So you're getting 3 starts out of Kohler. That would be my biggest appeal. I look at De La Rosa. He's a 2-starter in the last week, and he's got Charlie Morton this week. So I think that's a tough one, but I think I'd probably go with De La Rosa because I think Colorado can still put some runs on the board, and you're looking at 3 starts, and if you can pick up a guy this week that's got the 3 starts versus waiting till next weekend and getting into the mad dash and trying to chase those last week 2 starters, it might be a good buy moving just a bit early.
You got Marcus Stroman down here, Tim. That's a chip shot. Why he's only owned in 48% of CBS leagues and ESPN 40% is beyond me. This guy should be owned, I think, in every league now. He is back. It's impressive that he's back. But this is your number. This is the number one guy after David Price.
Well, yeah, and you know what? He's pitching Wednesday against what was Tanaka, which is now Ivan Nova. Do you want, is there a better matchup in the world than Strowman and Nova? I think you'd have a hard time finding it. The last week of the season, he could be potentially in a two-start situation. If the Yankees keep it close, you're looking at a Monday start out of Strowman in the last week. Well, if it's fairly close, you could see Strowman getting two starts in that week and going with David Price for the one-game playoff. If it boils down to that, you just don't know. So, you know, you got two starts, possibly three, and Stroman's looking good.
There's no way that the Blue Jays are going to a one-game playoff. Then this thing is buttoned down, man.
Well, I've seen sillier things happen. It's the Jays, but hey, until that fat lady sings, I'm not counting any chickens, Rich.
I hear you, but they're 85 and 64, so that's 89. It's 149 games, so they've got 13 games left, and they are two games up in the loss column. So it's only two games up in the loss column, four games up in the win column. Yeah, so, yeah, and they lost two in a row, it looks like.
Yeah, and right now, the last I saw, the Mets were up 1-0. I don't know what the current score is, but you can't really say the Yankees are out of anything at this stage of the game.
I think they are, but who knows, Tim? We'll see. It's fascinating to think that. Let's get to the next guy on there. I've never seen this guy play. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, but it's Logan Verrett or Verrett. I'm not exactly sure. I'm assuming it's Verrett. CBS 5%, ESPN 5%. I knew he's pitched one game already in the major leagues, Tim, and I think he won that game.
Yeah, he did. He's got the Tuesday start for DeGrom. Depending on what happens with the Mets, he could be looking at a two-start week this week. He could be looking at a two-start week next week. But when you look at the arms in that Mets rotation, you know that Logan Verrett is not going to figure into any playoff opportunities. They're going to give him as many innings pitched as they possibly can over the last 2 weeks. So I think he's a good buy.
Last two guys, Mike Morin and Tim. I'm not sure why he's on this list. Los Angeles Angels relief pitcher is Houston Street. I know he pitched got both saves at that against Minnesota. Is that why he's on the list? Did he pick up a save?
Well, no, actually, he won two games last week. Angels starters are nothing to write home other than Garrett Richards. Angels starters aren't going deep. They're not that strong. Morin's getting a lot of opportunities, and there's still enough offense in Anaheim that they're winning games. So if you're looking for a guy to plug in as a middle reliever type, I'd throw him in there.
Pedro Strop is the last guy on the list. I'm very, very disappointed. The R is capitalized, but the P is lowercase. I don't know what the heck happened there. So it's definitely a bad on your part. So the Cubs, 8% owned in CBS leagues, 8% owned in ESPN leagues.
Yeah, it's Madden. Who knows what's going to happen as far as saves? I think he got a save last week cleaning up a mess. Madden won't hesitate to toss anybody in there. And Strope's been pitching reasonably well. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a save, possibly two, down the stretch.
Tim, why didn't you make a comment on my small P? I thought that was kind of funny. I was expecting you to have some clever retort. You just answered it straight.
Well, I could have said, you know, if you need to take a break, okay, Rich, for that small P, okay, I'll carry on until you get back. How's that?
Oh, my goodness. It's funny because Tim is – these things are beautifully written. I have to tease him when he gets something wrong. Even Jorge De La Rosa, Tim, you got it all spaced out and capitalized right there. You got the relief pitcher. The last one on the list, Tim.
Well, I know. You know, if we would have had our power back at 1 instead of 4:15, I probably would have had time to edit it. But I was just trying to get it done and fired off to you, Rich. So I didn't obviously mind my P's and Q's very well this week.
Ah, that's pretty funny, Tim. Always can count on the great Tim McLeod for a joke. But I do have a guess the player, Tim.
Oh, I get to finish second again. After I taunted you last week, I'm more than deserving of this, Rich.
Actually, this is a very, very special guest of player, Tim, because it has nothing to do with players. It has to do all about great Tim McLeod.
Ooh.
So you should get this right because it's about you. But it's actually a bit of a riddle. So, Tim, I was watching the news, and I'm sure you're aware of this, maybe our listeners are not aware, is that the great country of Canada is going through a recession. They've had two quarters of retracting GDP, gross domestic product, which is the official definition of a recession. And the reason they're in recession is it's a country rich in natural resources, and with China and some other developing countries starting to hit some stumbles, the price of some of those commodities have come way down, Tim, and you get a recession because of it. So first question for you, not guess the player, but have you seen any problems with the recession and how it's hit, or people in breadlines? I don't think I've heard any of that, but any kind of effect on you or other of your fellow countrymen?
Not in my neck of the woods, Rich. The province of Alberta is obviously suffering because their economy is totally based on oil. But the other cause of this recession is the fact that our prime minister's only job before becoming a professional politician, he was a mail sorter.
Really?
Yes, he's a multimillionaire, and his only, I believe, full-time paid job was a mail sorter, other than politician.
Tim, I've been deeply concerned when I read this, and I started to think about you because you're my favorite Canadian. And I got to thinking about our conversation last week, and we talked about music at the end of the show, which was a great conversation. And I got to thinking about your mom when your mom gave you that $2,000 in 1972 to buy a stereo. I wish I had a mom like that, Tim. My mom never gave me anything like that. I mean, that's an awesome gift.
Yeah, well, you know, it was hers, Rich, but I just got to pick it out and use it all the time, so.
Okay, but what if, instead of taking that $2,000, Tim, and spending it on a stereo, if you actually invested that money, Tim, and took it away for your future, I guess the player is, how much would that money now be worth? So let me give you the parameters here, Tim. Let's say you invested in the U.S. stock market for the last, since 1972 to 2015, that's 43 years, Tim, of investing. What if you were to put that $2,000 and you would have bought an index in the U.S. stock market? How much would that $2,000 be worth today? Hold on, wait a minute, Tim. That's the wrong intro music. Oh. I mean, I got to get our setting that up here, and I hit the wrong clip here. So how much would that money be worth? Now, Tim, just to not make you jump off your roof of your house, it is not in the millions of dollars, but it is an impressive number nonetheless. Tim, $2,000, 43 years later, turns into how much money?
Well, my first guess would be, I sent you a picture of the amp and the preamp, didn't I?
Yes, very impressive.
Yes, and, you know, the current market value on that is somewhere between $375 and $400. So I'm sort of thinking that whatever number this is, it's going to be substantially more than that 400 greenbacks that I could see. I'll go $126,811.
Tim, I'm very impressed. Your ability to – wait a minute. Stop music. Your ability to crunch numbers very quickly in your head is indeed quite impressive. So first of all, from January 1st, 1972 to December 31st, 2014, the stock market overall index of the S&P 500 has actually gone up 12.16%. On an annualized basis. Tim, if you do quick math, that is $150,200.
Yeah, but you know what? I got that amp sitting right here, and it looks good, Rich. I tell you, if I could only find a buyer for it right now, I'd have enough money to, you know, hey, maybe make it to Duluth for a weekend.
There you go. So I saw that and just started to laugh, Tim, as I was working through this math. And I went out to moneychimp.com and just typed it in, and it told me what that was. And isn't that amazing? So for all you kids out there, save a little bit of money, throw it into something, don't think about it anymore, and then 40 years later, Tim, it can grow into something.
Well, yeah, and you know, for the rest of the week, Rich, I promise I will stay away from rope and all sharp objects. How's that?
That sounds good, Timmy. I thought that was a fun guess the player. So
that's very good, very good.
Yeah, let's finish up with two start pitchers, Timmy. You did a couple of them already. Let's go through these. Shelby Miller, Atlanta, 55% at the Mets, and Jonathan Nease at Miami, and Brad Hand. His last three starts, not good, 0-3, 14 innings pitched, 12 strikeouts, 7 walks, an 8.46 ERA. Timmy, he's not winning any games either.
No, that's, you know, I think he's better than what we've seen. He's had a pretty good year. He's now he's now gone, what, is it 18, 19 starts without a win? I think he's... He could be very, very quickly closing in on a record here, but I'd wheel him out there this week. It's Miami, the Mets, you know, they're shuffling people around. It's John Nease. I could think of worse options than Shelby Miller. I'd roll him out there.
Jeff Samardzija has been brutal, Tim. I think he was on this list last week, and they must have pushed the start back or maybe it rained out or something. 54% start at CBS leagues at Detroit and Danny Norris, and at the Yankees in the high bar Adam Warren. Last three starts 0-3, 16 innings pitch, 12 strikeouts, 9 walks. There's your problem, the 9 walks, and a 10.13 ERA.
Remember when we were just discussing Shelby Miller and I said there's worse options? Yeah, congratulations. we just found one right away. He's totally lost right now, and I just can't start him in any format.
So over the next couple of weeks, Timmy, so next week we'll probably have a somewhat traditional show like we've had, focus on waiver wire and two-star pitchers and some injuries and just how the heck you approach the last week of the season. Then it's going to be a preview of the playoffs the following week. That'll be the last Sunday in September. The first Sunday in October will be our Arizona Fall League preview.
Nice.
Before I go off to Arizona Fall, the Fall League, which will be fun. Week after that will be kind of review of the Arizona Fall League, and we'll start talking like how the playoffs are going, World Series are going. Then the week after that, it is going to start talking about free agents and those guys, where they might sign, and particularly looking at guys who have really increased their value or really their value has gone down. And Jeff Samardzija, Tim, he and Ian Desmond have to be leading that charge as to probably losing the most amount of money this year going forward.
Yeah, I think Samardzija is in a class all of his own. Desmond's picked it up in the second half. And when you look at shortstop and you look at the options, I think once the end of the year rolls around and all the numbers are put in a row, Desmond hasn't done anything to help himself. But it's not as bad as the way it was looking, say, at the All-Star break. At the All-Star break, it was looking dreadful.
Tim, would you like to do another guest the player?
Sure, I'll pick Trey Turner. You lucky dog. He's going to the Fall League. You're going to get a chance to see him. Nice.
I am. Tim, what do you think Ian Desmond's on-base percentage is this year? On-base percentage for Ian Desmond.
I'll go 278.
It's pretty close, 286.
Okay.
He turned down $110 million, Tim. Ain't no way he's getting 100. He's going to sign a one-year $8 million deal or something like that to try to restoke his value. That he's in trouble.
Yeah, no, he's not getting a $100 million deal. There's no doubt about it. But I can see his agent saying, okay, you know what? You know, he got off to a horrible start. He had this wrong with him, that wrong with him. He was hurting. You know, his cat died, his goldfish, whatever you want. But you know what? You can't look at that. You got to look at the second half. That was the real Ian Desmond, not the first half. And his agent will sell a second half. And yeah, who knows? He might get a 2-year, yeah, 2-year $25 million deal.
I'm going to be the team. I'm going to go, yeah, that's not the real Ian Desmond. The real Ian Desmond was when he was 27 years old. He batted .280, he had 145 strikeouts on 600 at bats. That was the real Desmond, who's now speed has gone down. He's gone from 24 stolen bases last year to 12 stolen bases this year. His strikeout rate from 2013 when he was 27 years old, Tim, that year I just talked about, 145 strikeouts last year to 183. Pretty much going to replicate that again this year. This is 170 strikeouts on 39 walks and 542 at-bats. This is a guy who's a sub-300 on-base percentage guy now. Yeah, he's got a little bit of power there. We've seen his defense can be very, very erratic. That's his problem.
Well, yeah. And what team are you representing as a team owner right now, Rich? I'm just curious.
probably a team that's not going to bid on him anyway. So I'm going to be the guy that's trying to get him for $8 million for a one-year contract.
Okay, because as his agent, what I'm going to say then is, well, that's perfectly fine because we'll go down the road to your division rival who's willing to pay him at least $15 million a year. And when you're looking up at us in the standings next year, wah.
I don't think he's going to get it, Tim. I do not think he's going to get it. I can't imagine. You said 2 years at $25 or a $15 million contract, like for 4 years. I can't even imagine somebody forking over that kind of money for him.
I'll go 2 on 25 for a soda the next time we're at the park.
Yeah, because I think you torched me. I didn't even look at Ariel Pena versus my guy Kevia Sampson. I think Pena won a game today, so I don't even want to look. I'll give you that. So maybe I have a chance to win back on the soda part of it.
I'll go the whole meal, okay? I'm that type of guy, Rich. I'm not going to get chintzy here, okay? I'm not going to get chintzy on the double or nothing.
You think he's going to get 2 and 20? He's not going to get 2 and 20. I mean, come on, Tim. Give me something a little bit. I'll let you rephrase that. Come up with something a little bit less rich than 2 and 25. No way he gets that.
I'm going to stick at 2 for 25.
Oh, okay, Tim. Okay.
I'm a sporting sort of dude. What can I say?
I'd even let you do 4 for 60, but you want to do 2 for 25. So you're saying 2 years, not 25 per, but 2, 12.5 per.
Yeah.
Okay.
One for 14, 2 for 25.
Okay. All right. So it's interesting. So I don't know what the when they do the qualifying contracts, I think that number's up to $15, $16 million. That's going to be a good tell to see if the Washington Nationals even put a qualifying offer on Ian Desmond. If they did, would he take it?
Well, my bet would be they're not going to put it out there.
Yeah, I would be
They're going to be afraid he's going to take it. And I don't think they want him back. I think they want Trey Turner at shortstop starting the year. So why would the Nats take a chance on that? You know, the last thing they would want, at least in the way I'm looking at it and thinking, the last thing they want is to put an opportunity out there that would take away from Trey Turner being their starting shortstop heading into 2016.
Yeah, and boy, I tell you, it would be a disaster if Ian Desmond comes back of that. It's got to be over $15 million that qualifying offer. I mean, they couldn't do that, so I don't think they would take the gamble either. It'd be interesting, though. That's the kind of stuff I love, Tim. That high stake poker that goes on, and it's like, are they going to take it? Because remember when the Colorado Rockies put a qualifying offer on Michael Kodire, and it's like, who would even take him, and the Mets go ahead and sign him? Ridiculous. I mean, they gave up a draft pick, and they got a lousy player.
Yeah, I wonder if Kendrys Morales is rethinking his decision to not take the offer when it was handed to him, Rich.
Three home runs today.
Yeah, he will never get back that money that he lost, ever.
I know. It's brutal. Tim, we continue on. John Gray, 9% owned in Colorado. Tough matchups. Home against Pittsburgh and Jay Happ. And home against the Dodgers and Alex Wood, who pitched brilliantly earlier this week. Last three starts, it's been okay. 0-1, 15 innings, 15 strikeouts, 6 walks, and a 3.60 ERA. Timmy, he's on a pitch count. If he gets to 5 innings, it's a stretch. I don't think you can start this guy.
Well, hey, if you're totally desperate, yes, but there are other and better options on this list, so I would probably shy away from Jonathan Gray this week.
Eric Johnson, great guitar player. Yeah, Eric Johnson's in his 60s now, Tim.
Oh, man, we're getting old, Rich. We're getting old.
I, I mean, he personally looks great. He's always had that baby face, man. But man, yeah. That guy can really play. But I didn't realize he's like 63 years old.
Well, you know, when we were talking about music last week, and we were going through, bands and guitarists, and one of my favorite guitarists passed away this week, Gary Richrath from REO Speedwagon, their original guitarist.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah. Did you see? I mean, he really blew up over the last year or two.
Ooh.
He became just really obese. I don't know what he died of, but he go take a look at some of his recent performances.
I've seen them.
He was an absolute mess.
Yeah, he was, but he was a brilliant guitarist.
Really good. Really good classic guitar. I think I totally agree with you. Completely underrated. Some really, really good solos in the day. So, boy, I'm sorry to hear that, Tim. That bums me out. Eric, so Eric Johnson, 5% owned, started in Chicago White Sox at Detroit and Danny Norris at the Yankees and Luis Severino. What about Eric Johnson with a K?
Yeah, Eric with a K. Yeah, we're wheeling him out there. I think he's as good as anybody on this list. I like Johnson. He's pitching reasonably well, and Detroit isn't exactly firing on all cylinders. And the Yankees and Severino will be a tough game. But when you start looking at the two start pitchers that we're looking at, he's one of the better choices, I think.
Miguel Cabrera is still a first round pick next year, Tim.
Yes, he will be. No, I will not pick him.
Okay, because, I mean, he could go 8th to 12th kind of area. And, I don't know. It is Miguel Cabrera, but everybody falls off, and the injuries, and I just worry about him now.
Yeah, if I'm picking 8 to 12, I'm probably going to go with a young player from Korea. Or named
young?
Korea.
Oh, okay. I was trying to think. It's wait a minute, what? Did he just get hurt? That's really, we didn't talk about that to me, but Kang, it's a real shame.
Oh.
He's going to miss part of the season next year.
Yeah, he is. A tough play, but you know what? He didn't hit his 40 home runs that he hit in Korea. But when you look at, we're looking at 421 at-bats, 15 homers, 58 RBIs, 60 runs scored, and 816 ops. A pretty solid year for Mr. Kong, and considering the Pirates signed him, I think, 3 years for $7 million, I think it was. Not a bad deal, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I can't remember what the actual amount was, but I know it was. I saw him in spring training this year, and I wasn't impressed with him. I hated the swing. I mean, he basically stands on one leg and hits it, and somehow it works for him. I don't know how he does it, but he was a lot better than I thought he was going to be.
Well, you know what? He's modified that swing of his a little bit since arriving in North America. When I looked at footage of him from Korea, he had a really, really high exaggerated kick on that front foot. He's toned it down remarkably. And I'm certain that the batting coach and everybody responsible for working with players spent a lot of time with him this spring and into the early part of the summer, recognizing, that the potential was there and that some tweaks were in order.
Well, the tweaks happened after I saw him, Tim, because that leg kick was pretty daggone high. So I give him all the credit in the world. So Yoli Sachin, Tim, used to be really good. Used to be with Colorado. He's now with Arizona. I did not know that. He is at Los Angeles and Brett Anderson and at San Diego and James Shield.
Yeah, I think if you own him, you got to take a look at him. He's going to provide you some strikeouts. The Dodgers haven't been really putting huge numbers on the board. San Diego has been scoring a few runs. Shields has been pitching decent, as is Anderson. But again, you're looking at two start pitchers. I think there's at least a decent opportunity with Cha-ching.
Jonathan Lamb, Timmy, Cincinnati, 3% started at St. Louis and Jaime Garcia's and home against the Mets and supposedly Matt Harvey. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. What about John Lamb?
Well, I looked at that, Rich, and as soon as I saw New York Mets and Harvey, I was really hoping he was playing in New York so I could say the lamb lies down on Broadway, but not the case.
Not the case. You're going to start him?
I'm gonna throw them out there. Yeah, you're at the stage if you're playing in a standard rotisserie league where it's gonna take a real Herculean effort to destroy your ERA and WHIP. You've got what 1,100, 1,200 at least innings in right now. Unless it's a really close battle, it's going to take a lot to do damage. So yeah, I think he's got a shot. The Cards aren't scoring a pile of runs; they're winning games, but they're winning them the old-fashioned way, 3-2, 4-2, 3-1. So you know, I'd roll him out there.
Cody Martinson, the reliever with Oakland, you get him because he's not started at all at CBS. Versus Texas and Martin Perez and home against San Francisco and Chris Heston.
The last time that I would have ever started Cody Martin was when he was in Atlanta vying to be a closer. No, you can't go anywhere near this guy. He's just getting smacked around. And we have seen in the past week or so that Texas still has a little bit of offense. Definitely if Martin Perez is available, go grab him and grab him quick, because I think you can put that one as money in the bank for Perez that first game.
So Tim, did we miss on Chris Heston or did we get him right? Because you and I were both against him. Here's this splits through the months: April 2.77 ERA, May 4.58, June 3.56, July 1.57, August 5.79, September 4.11, only in 15 innings. Is he any good?
Well, if you owned him in two of those months, he was great. But unfortunately, you probably owned him in two of the other months. He's a number four, number five starting pitcher. Yeah. No better than that. And he, you know, like any starting pitcher out there, on any given day, they can reel off three, four, five really, really good starts. It'll be interesting to see next spring if he can carry some of those good starts and sort of stabilize. You know, I would much rather see a pitcher throwing to a 370, 380 ERA for 6 months than a 156, 156. It'll be interesting to see if he's a little more stable next year.
Yeah, it's really tough, Timmy, and particularly in head-to-head leagues when you've got these guys that are good 1 month and lousy the next month. They're completely inconsistent. Yeah. It's just, you just don't know when to start them. Timmy, let's wrap up with just a quick review of what's happening in the playoff race. We'll do it this week and next week. Looking at the American League starting off there, we already talked about Toronto, the Yankees. I can't imagine the Toronto not winning that division, but as you rightly say, until the fat lady sings, it's still open. It looks like everybody else is out of it. Kansas City, it's nearly clinched already. Let's go to the Texas and Houston. Houston, what an awful situation. They have won two in a row. First time they've done that in, I think, 6 weeks. I mean, they have just collapsed, him, and it looks like they've just worn out.
Well, yeah, and, you know, they were counting on Carlos Gomez for big things down the stretch, and that hasn't happened. That hasn't helped them. Carlos Correa's still playing well, but he's not playing, you know, he's not playing as an elite player right now, a very good player, and that's to be expected. You know, the guy's going to have, you know, ups and downs, a few bumps in the road, and he's only 20 years old. You know, last week, Keuchel absolutely shattered dreams all over the place.
Yeah,
it was absolutely brutal. And you know, Houston's got their hands full right now. They're, you know, Anaheim's two games back. The Twins are two games back. Cleveland is only three back. And what's really interesting is when you look at, say, the Twins and Cleveland. Okay, they got six games against each other coming up in the next 2 weeks. Both teams are playing Kansas City in there for three. You look at Houston. Houston this week has got three against the Angels, followed up by three against Texas, and they finish with Seattle and Arizona. But, you know, even the Angels, if they can do damage against Houston, take two out of three, that puts them one game back, and they got Seattle and Oakland before they finish up with four on the road at Texas. So it's a real dog's breakfast, and these teams are going to be beating each other up for the next week.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So, Tim, talk about the wild card, obviously. The Yankees 3.5 up on the wild card. Houston, the second team there. But as Tim just rightly pointed out, there are two games in front in the loss column to the Angels, two games in front of the loss column to Minnesota. They're still hanging in, and three games to Cleveland. Tim, if I was at Vegas and I had you on the phone and said, Chia, give me a dark horse who's going to make it in, who's going to overtake Houston, who would it be out of the Angels, Minnesota, and Cleveland?
I'm going to go with Cleveland.
I'm going to go with Cleveland as well. We would lose together then.
Yep, they got six against the Twins. And, hey, Minnesota really got, they scored some big runs today. I think they won 10-1. But they lost 3 of 4 to the Angels and basically let the Angels back into the game. But if they can take 4 or 5 out of 6 against the Twins, that knocks Twins out of the race. And Cleveland's got some decent starting pitching. I wouldn't count Cleveland out. That's the way I'm looking. And, Houston, both Houston and the Angels, they got to play Texas 3 and 4 games respectively. That's not going to be an easy feat.
Yeah, I agree. And Cleveland, I look at it, if Kluber can come back, this is a guy that was out for injury and didn't get a chance to really get stretched out, so hopefully he'll be able to start this week and actually get a 6 or 7 outing out of him. But Carrasco is pretty good, and Cody Anderson looks okay. That's a pretty good pitching staff.
Well, they're getting enough offense, they're scoring enough runs to definitely make a difference. How am I sounding tonight? I just had my headset fall off my head. I'm just curious. Is it okay tonight?
It was perfect until the headset fell off your head, and clearly we could tell something was going on, Tim.
I got my hair cut yesterday, so there's no grip material here. I got to get some Velcro for the top of my head or something here, Rich.
It's very funny. Tim, let's move to the National League, which is really boring. The Mets could completely collapse, but they're 7-up on the Washington in the loss column. The Dodgers are 7-8-up on the San Francisco Giants. It seems to be locked in. And the Cardinals, there's still some opportunity. They're 4-up on the Pittsburgh Pirates and 6-up on the Cubs. And it looks like in the wild card, it's Pittsburgh and the Cubs. I don't think anybody's going to catch them. They're 9 games ahead. Chicago Cubs are 9 games ahead of San Francisco. So it really is going to come down to, I think, who's going to host the wild card game, if I'm reading this right.
Yeah, that's, you're right. It's fairly boring. It's all pretty well said and done. The only thing left would be, a collapse by St. Louis to allow either Pittsburgh or Chicago to move into, the division lead, which can't, you can't rule anything out. But being they have a 4-game lead on paper, it looks like right now Pittsburgh and Chicago are going to battle for home field advantage.
Yeah, it's kind of dull, Tim. I definitely prefer the American League, because at least we've got some intrigue, at least in divisional races, in the West and in the East. And then clearly I still think Houston is extraordinarily vulnerable.
Well, yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. In the NL, the other thing, from a fantasy perspective, is you've got to be watching and be very, very careful when you start looking at, how much you're expecting out of the Dodgers. Assuming they clinch relatively soon, they're going to be resting people. They're going to be limiting innings. You will not see Clayton Kershaw throw 115 pitches once they clinch. You might see him for 4 or 5 innings and then a quick out. Same with Greinke. And, you look at St. Louis, it's a revolving door right there, right now there anyways, but the Mets is the same situation. Who knows what you can expect out of their starting rotation at this stage, assuming they clinch. You'll see people resting. It makes it really, really tough trying to get those innings, and especially if you're chasing wins and strikeouts. It's a nightmare.
Totally agree with you. Timmy, it's been a great show. We've covered a lot of stuff. I've really enjoyed our show. I think I love it when we just kind of wrap around baseball and fantasy and just some nonsense thrown in there and finding out how much $2,000 would actually grow to, which is actually kind of fun. Tell us what you got going on this week.
Well, I'll be hanging out on the Facebook page, getting my waiver wire picks in the next hour and a half. Monday night, I'm guesting on the Dear Mr. Fantasy podcast with Chris McBrien. I'm looking forward to that. Should be a fun evening.
Have you ever been on that before?
No, I haven't. And Chris is a fellow Canadian. He's out of Barrie, Ontario. So I'm really looking forward to sitting down with him. And Joe, I'm going to pronounce your name wrong, Joe. The little black book. Joe Pispaya?
I have no idea.
Little black book.
Little black book. What are you talking about?
Baseball pitching.
Oh, okay. Are you on his show as well, or is he on the Dear Fantasy show?
He's on Dear Mr. Fantasy with Chris, okay. The two of them.
Well, that's great. Nobody ever invites me to be on any of these broadcasts, Tim. I get a lot of local stuff. So I do a lot of ESPN networks and Fox Sports One type of thing, just on the prospect stuff. But the fantasy guys, I think they all hate me, Tim, because the baseball HQ guys never invite me to talk on the panel, and nobody ever asked me to do any fantasy stuff. It's all prospects.
Well, yeah, I don't get a whole lot of requests either. You know, the guys in North Dakota and, you know, friends.
They had me on once, Tim, and then they fired me. They had me on once, never invited me back.
Well, you know, I think the reason that, you know, Chris extended me an invite is because he knows where Fort Francis is, okay? I think it's a pity. I think it's a pity invite, okay? A fellow Ontarioan saying, hey, man, you live at the end of the world. We got to throw a bone your way. Anybody that lives at Fort Francis, okay? Come on. We got to give this guy a break. And that's how I think I ended up on that one, Rich.
Well, plus you're brilliant, so that's why you end up with these things. So, Timmy, I write for Prospect361.com, and we are in the middle of writing a ton of stuff. I'm about 60% of the way finished writing my capsules, and I'm like writing 3 or 4 hours a night, Tim. And the research is pretty much a year-long commitment. I've done most of the research on players and trying to whittle down from 20 to 25 to try to find 10, and it's pretty hard on some of these systems because they're so rich. And I just did the Phillies system, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's, you know, we can make fun of Ruben Amaro all we want. He left that system in pretty good shape.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Once you post that one, could you post the one that you did last year? linking the two, Rich? I think
they're always linked, Tim. They're always linked. So, there's always a link at the top that you can go back and look at last year's, and it is quite different. Obviously, J.P. Crawford and Roman Quinn are still there, but the rest of the 8 guys, I think, are different.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't surprise me at all, because if I'm not mistaken, when you did the 2014, they had one of the worst farm systems in baseball, didn't they? I think you, after their first couple picks, Crawford and Quinn, you had struggles filling it out.
Yeah, so this year it's Crawford, Williams, Jorge Alfaro, Jake Thompson, Roman Quinn, Cornelius Randolph, a really toolsy outfielder they picked up in the draft, Franklin Cologne, Darnell Sweeney, Scott Kingery, and Andrew Knapp. That's the list, Tim. Those are some really good guys. Andrew Knapp's a big leaguer. He's number 10. I mean, every one of these guys, I think, has a chance to make it to the major leagues, and you can rarely say that about a system.
Yeah, I was going to say that's some collective great group of guys you just named off there. And kudos for your article that you posted this week with your All-Stars, Rich. Great job. I liked it. It was a good read.
Yeah, I think I had a misspelling on there. Tim corrected me on that. I appreciate that, Tim. I somehow my editor missed that, so I fired him, Tim. He's gone. Off the payroll.
Well, and you know what? You should, because, you know, he probably put a small P instead of a large P on one of those two. That I didn't even pick up on it, Rich, believe it or not. Scary.
it's funny. So, yeah, there's some, if you want to go out and take a look at that, is my 2016 all minor league team and household names on there. So hopefully I put some runners ups on there that may be a little bit further away. Yeah, Timmy, wasn't anything scientific. I didn't really study and say, like, how is this guy really better than that guy and so forth. I really went, a lot of times when I do these lists, Tim, it's really top of mind. I put that out, and then I'll do the research after that just to make sure I didn't miss an obvious one. And I think sometimes it's best is the people that you think about because you've been following stuff all year, those guys that come to mind, I think, are in the end, are going to be the best guys.
Well, yeah, and it's always nice just to go out there and throw something. People love lists, Rich. They love when
I know. So keep seeing business.
Yeah. And you know, I've, over the years up until this past year, I've been very, very actively involved in rankings and lists, and people love them. And when you put something out like that, where you're listing your all-stars and the people that you think are deserving of accolades, it's a great read and very, very informative. And it should also give people some food for thought when they start looking at trying to fill in some of the holes in their dynasty teams.
Now, Tim, you posed a question to me, and you would like to kind of hang out on the website and actually have a section that we can put some of your stuff out there. Do you want to tell our audience what you're thinking?
Well, yeah. You know, I've had numerous requests in the past 6 months, people looking at rankings, and I keep looking at what's out there, and I think maybe there might be an opportunity for a top 50, top 300, maybe even a top 361 ranking set. And that's a nice number, isn't it? A 12-team league, 12 30s is 360 plus one. We've got to have a bonus in there for Rich Wilson.
Love
but
it.
I mean, there's lots of opportunities there, I think, and there's people are looking.
Tim just went away. And like that, he's gone. I don't know what happened. There he goes. Goodbye-bye. So Tim is going to be writing for our site and doing rankings, which I think is totally awesome. So totally looking forward to that. And I don't know, we'll have to come up with a clever name, Tim's Corner, Tim's Rankings, something like that. And we'll just do that. I don't know if he's going to come back in here in a minute or two.